We're going to preach. Appreciate all the good singing, good fellowship tonight. And just hope that we can feed the flock of God. And hope we can do you some good tonight through the preaching of God's word. Genesis chapter 45 tonight. And we're going to start up here in about verse number 19, somewhere in that deal, to kind of pick you up to the story. This is the account of Joseph's life, and Joseph, of course, carried off down into Egypt and gets down there, and then his brethren comes in along the way. Somebody's still hallelujah in there. They're liking that singing, wasn't they? All righty. Anyway, let's pick it up here at verse number 19. Now, what's happening is the brethren have come and they've gotten reconciled to Joseph, and now Joseph is telling his brethren to go back and get their daddy. And so it comes in verse number 19. He said, "Now thou art commanded this day, this do ye. Take ye wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come." He said, "You go after daddy. And regard not your stuff, for all the good of the land of Egypt is yours." And the children of Israel did so. And I want you to notice here again, Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner: 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, and 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, "See that ye fall not out by the way." And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. So now they get there, and they told him something. Now, these is his sons who did not have a good history of telling their daddy the truth. But I want you to notice something. Now, he said, and told them, saying, "Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. I wonder why he didn't believe them. Yeah. Anyway, and they told him all the words of them when he saw the wagons. They told him all the words of Joseph when he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. And I want you to flip back now to chapter 37 on this story. And I want you just to see a contrast in Jacob. And I want us to try to apply his problem to our lives tonight. Maybe give a little comfort and encouragement tonight. And maybe help us in our battle against the lies of the devil. Chapter 37, let's pick it up about verse number 28. And the Bible said in verse 28, now you know that Jacob had sent Joseph down there, and they put him in the pit and all kind of going to kill him. One of them stepped in and stopped that, and they put him in the pit. And then it passed by the Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and brought Joseph to Egypt. And Reuben returned into the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not nigh, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, went deer hunting. No, I'm just aggravating you a little bit there. And killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father. And he said, "This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it. And he said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces." Joseph rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted and said, "I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. There's an irony here. How you doing? Good to see you. Joseph was believing a lie in chapter 37, but he wouldn't believe the truth in chapter 45. And here was the deal. He just wanted to believe the bad news. Whatever the bad news was, that's what he wanted. He had a problem. And I don't like using the term optimist and pessimist. I like to use the term believing or doubting. And we're in a kind of a time right now in America when it's very easy to be pessimistic about the situations of our country. and to be discouraged and kind of down and out and so forth. But I don't believe God wants us to be that way. And I want to preach tonight, whether you believe it or not, this is what I want to preach on. Whether you believe it or not, the wagons are coming. Whether you believe it or not, the wagons are coming. You see, Jacob here, he didn't believe it. In fact, I want to tell you how bad this kind of attitude got him. Turn your Bibles to chapter 47. Now the wagons have come and Joseph's come and he's got his daddy, took him down into Egypt and he's going to introduce him to Pharaoh. And he introduced him to Pharaoh in chapter 47. And you get into verse number 7, the Bible said, Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now that's nice of him. And verse number 8, and Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? He just asked him, how old are you? But I want you to listen to his answer. He never did tell him his age, far as I know. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh that, well, he did, but that ain't the thing that really he answered with. He said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage were 130 years. And then here's this wonderful attitude he has again. Few and evil have been the days of my life. Can you imagine? God just reunited all his family. He just got through seeing a son and grandsons he thought he'd never see. God just gets through blessing him every way in the world. And somebody asks him, how old are you? He tells him, but that ain't really what he wants to tell him. He don't want to tell him how old he is. He wants to tell him how terrible life's been. And I want to say something to you tonight. You and I are not living in the sense of what we're seeing, not living in the don't look good. America looks like it's just going to go on, turn its back on God. But I will tell you this. This is a good time to have a good testimony and a smile on your face and hope in your heart. Amen. And it's not a time to whine and act like the end of the world is coming because a liar got elected and a thief got elected for president. You're supposed to laugh right there, but I know you don't, and that's okay. I don't care, okay?
It ain't funny.
Huh? Yeah.
It's not funny.
But yeah, there you go. But that is the truth. And so I'm saying to you this tonight, that the wagons are coming whether you believe it or not. Now, old W.C. Fields, now I ain't promoting him or not, but here's what he said. He said, you want to smile first thing in the morning and just get it over with. I mean, that's the way some people's life is. They're just not going to be happy about anything. And Christian people sometimes can be the most discouraged, the most... I'm going to tell you something. Now, I fight depression. I don't care whether you believe that or not. I fight discouragement. I've been fighting discouragement. You get older and get a little bit weaker and you fight it more and more all the time. But I believe this tonight, that we can either have belief in God's word or we can have doubt and unbelief, and that's going to depend on our happiness and our joy. Now, Groucho Marx, and I'm not promoting him either. He said, if you find anything to laugh about, it's because you're not paying attention. You know, you've heard about the lady who and was talking to another lady on the telephone, and her neighbor lady asked her, said, how'd you wake up? Well, did you wake up Groucho this morning? She said, no, I let him sleep for a while. Everything negative. There's nothing you can see good about it. I want to tell you the truth tonight. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to a negative church. Amen. I don't want to sit under negative preaching because the wagons are coming for us. Amen. And whether you believe that on a day-by-day faith basis or not, I don't know. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. God has given us his word about the wagons coming, and they are coming. And you believe. And here's the wonderful part of this whole text. Jacob not believing that the wagons were coming didn't change the fact that the wagons were coming. Amen. And you letting doubt and discouragement and depression and all that junk kick in on you is not going to stop the promises of God from coming into this world. Amen. Amen. And so, think about this. Honeybees fly 100,000 miles from flower to flower in order to gather enough nectar for just 1 pound of honey. Only to have someone come and steal it from them. Yeah. Yeah. And it's no wonder they sting us, amen? I'm going to be honest with you. If you're not careful, all you can think about is what's bad that's went on in your life. He said, few and evil have been the days of my life. He said, my life's been no good. You know something? There's people all around you got trouble, sorrow, and pain, amen. Misery. A lot of stuff rough and tough in life. But we need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. David said in Psalms, chapter 27 and verse number 13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What God is saying here, that if you don't lock into and believe the promises of God, that the wagons are coming, that his promises will be what he said, you will faint out because you keep your eyes on this world and all that's going on here and not on heaven. I want to give you a few wagons that's coming tonight. But the fact of it is, like Jacob, oftentimes we don't believe the word of God that we hear. We've heard it and heard it, but in a practical sense, we are not believing it. And our testimony, our countenance, our attitude, and everything about it. Now, I just kind of want to preach you a pep-up message tonight. I think we all need a little bit of cheering up. Amen? And I want to tell you something. I get my cheer from the word of God. Paul said in Acts 27, in the middle of that storm, he said, "Sirs, be of good cheer." He said, "For I believe God, it'll be just like he said." And I'm telling you, in the midst of our storms, in the midst of our troubles, we can still believe God. No matter what it looks like today in your life, it is still God's promises are standing and God's promises are true. Jacob's unbelief, the good news is that Jacob's unbelief did not derail the wagon train. And you and I's unbelief and our doubt and our wondering and our fretting and so forth and our bad attitudes is not going to stop God Almighty from doing what he said he would do. First of all, I want to tell you right now, some of us may be going through dry times spiritually or dry times financially, dry times marriage, I don't know. But I want to say, number one tonight, and you might laugh at some of this, but that's okay. You might say this is stupid and too simple. Well, that just suits me fine because I'm stupid and simple. Amen. God said, unless you have the faith of a little child, no one going into the kingdom of heaven anyway. But first wagons that come is a lunch wagon. You know, there's wagons, and you've heard about down life. You ever heard of a lunch wagon? Them old working crews used to have wagons come by, and they called them the lunch wagon. Lunch wagon come by. And God's given you and I a lunch wagon. Isaiah 55 says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat and drink, and buy wine and milk without money, without price. Wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently to me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." And I realize that's got a spiritual application, and it does. But let me just say to you, practically speaking, about God's lunch wagon. God has promised. David said, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread." Can I tell you something tonight? God said he would provide all your need according to his riches and glory. God's not going bankrupt tonight. God's not messed up. God's not running short. I want to tell you tonight, if you put him first in your life, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." How many's made it till tonight? Raise your hand. You made it till tonight. Can I tell you something? God's going to take you on through. Amen. He said he would provide that. There were provisions in those wagons that were coming up to Jacob. And I want to say to you tonight, yes, you may wonder how we're going to pay next month's bill. I don't know how you're going to either, but God knows. God's going to take you through. Let me tell you something. Don't think I've sat up here and don't know what I'm talking about. Karen and I'm just thinking today somewhat about it. But I'm telling you what. When we got married, we was worse than broke. How many knows what worse than broke is? You owe way more than you even have collateral for. That's exactly right. I'm going to tell you something. Before I ever met that girl, I was in business, and I mean I hit not a mud hole. I hit a sewer lagoon. And I was $60,000 in debt when I met that girl. I did not have anything for collateral. And when I asked her to marry me, I told her that. I said, "Before you say yes or before you say no or whatever you're going to say, I need to tell you something." And I was sitting on the couch in her folks' house, talked to her and looked her in the face and said, "I owe $60,000 and this got to be paid." So when you marry me, you're not just marrying me, you're marrying $60,000 worth of debt I don't have any collateral for. As in 1977. Actually, 76 when I told her that. I don't know what that'd be like today, but let me just tell you something. But you know what? As sorry as I was and sorry and low down as I am, something in my soul, and this is what you young people need to get a hold of. The wagons came through. Amen. The wagons came, amen? Some of you think, "I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know how you're going to make it." I just know the wagons are coming. And the wagons have always come all the way down through my life. The wagons have come. I'm telling you right now, I told you this morning, our six children, every one of them C-section. And I'll tell you, they don't give them C-sections away. They want money for them knives, amen. And I'll tell you right now, I don't know how, but God's allowed us to pay for every one of them kids. And I'm telling you, God's blessed us up one side and down the other. And the wagons have always come. But you know something? There's something inside me. Even though I fight depression, down in my heart, I believe God. I really do. Let me tell you something. God is good, amen. God loves me. God, his child. He's my father, amen. He didn't make me his child to throw me in a ditch somewhere. You know, he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father give good things to them that ask? Amen. We need to have a good attitude. We need to quit moping around acting like God's maybe not going to take care of us. America needs to see some Christianity that believes the wagons are coming. Amen. So that the wagons of provision. I'll take that thing with our table in the wilderness. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? This was one of the things the children of Israel had to learn. They're out there in the desert. They're out there where there's no food. They're out there where there's no water. Can God provide a table in the wilderness? Can God do the miracle? Can God do the impossible? Can God take care of you and your family? Yes, he can. Believe on him. I'm saying be strong in faith. Be strong in faith tonight. Believe that God will do what he said. Did he tell you tonight? My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. Let me tell you something tonight. That's what you pass. You know what's passed on to your kids is not what you're dilly-dallying around at church. It's whenever they know the rubber's meeting the road is tough at the house and you say, you know what? We're still going to trust God. And we're still going to serve God. I don't care what it looks like around here. I remember that dear missionary, Mike. Can't remember his last name now. Supported him for years and years and years. And he told about his daddy was a missionary. And I forget what land they were in right now. But his dad talked about the fact that they literally had no food in the house. And he said, I remember my daddy, they had a little old something there in the refrigerator. He said, my dad laid that, and it had a pile of kids. He said, my dad laid that thing on the table and said he asked God to bless it and thank God for it. And I think it was a piece of cheese. If I remember right, it was one piece of cheese. Now, you think about this tonight. Ain't nobody in this house tonight, I doubt, that got this tight. Had a piece of cheese, and they cut it up into enough pieces for everybody in the family to have one little piece of cheese. And he said he prayed. He said, I never will forget. Mike told me, he said, I never will forget hearing my daddy pray. Dear Lord, I'd like to have some bread to eat with this cheese. And he said, my daddy kept praying. He said, Lord, if you're going to bring us some bread, would you bring us some mayonnaise? You know how I like mayonnaise. And he said, he just kept praying. My daddy just kept praying. He said he cut that cheese up, laid it all around, and he said just about time we was all getting ready to tie in, he said, doorbell, somebody knocked on the door. He said, there's a lady standing there at the biggest old box you ever seen in your life. Said, everything my dad had prayed for was in that box. He said, I'm going to tell you something. That's why I'm a missionary. He showed me a God that had the wagons coming when it didn't look like it was out there. I'm telling you tonight, I want you to know the wagons are coming. Let me just tell you about not only the food, the lunch wagons coming. Buddy, there's going to be a day of the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the wagons are coming, and we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you something, he's going to gird himself and serve us. Amen. And we're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And secondly, tonight, I've got to run. There's a station wagon's coming. Station. Some of you already know what I'm fixing to say. Station wagon's coming. I can see it all over Brother Lawrence's face. Now, I want to tell you a little story. You boys, listen tight. Whenever I met Karen, I was driving a Corvette. In just a few years, we was driving a station wagon. Does anybody know what happened? You can't haul kids around the Corvette. I'll tell you what. Now, back then, we didn't have all these SUVs and stuff like that, did we, Danny? There was. If you had kids, there was what's called station wagons. And I never will forget, we went and bought our first used station wagon. Amen. Brother Josh, you know what? You know, now you guys got vans, but we didn't have vans back in them days. I see Brother Josh coming down the highway, all these little heads in his van sticking up. I see Joel around his little bitty head sticking up everywhere. But boy, I'm going to tell you something, the station wagons. You say, Rich, what are you talking about? Station wagons. I'm talking about... Have you committed your kids to God? Now, you listen to me. The Bible said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You listen to me. I'm going to challenge your faith tonight about something. But I'm going to ask you a question, first of all. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And he said that he, God, is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. When I talk about station wagon coming, what I'm talking about is being like Noah, all your kids in the ark with you. But have you committed your children to him? Paul said, he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Have you ever committed your children to God? Now I want to give you something tonight. The jailer was told believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in all thy house. There's not going to be very many families get by without you thinking you're going to lose some of your kids. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. I want you to reach down your soul, and I want you to call the devil a liar tonight that he's not getting any of your kids because you committed your kids to Jesus Christ. Are you listening to me? We need to believe that the wagons are coming. The story is not told yet. Listen to me. When I was 22, 23 years old, I got in a verbal fight with my mama over sin in the front of our house yard. I got in my car and I said, I'm leaving. My mama was standing against my sin. The short story is the wagons came in. I'm going to tell you what you do. You get on your face before God Almighty and you take that child to the throne of grace. And you say, God, I've committed that child to you. And I'm not giving up, and I believe the wagons are going to come. I believe the station wagons are going to come in. We need to believe. We need to quit doubting. We need to quit thinking and giving up. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever give up on your children. Don't you ever give up on your children. You believe God that he is able to keep that which you committed unto him. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If I was you and you haven't done that, Hannah's sitting back there in the back. I'm going to tell you right now. I remember the night I walked into her bassinet, laid my hand on her. She hadn't been home a day or two. And I gave her to God Almighty. You listen to me. Commit your children to God. Commit them to God. And then I don't care what it looks like. It may look like what it looked like to my mama. I never will forget, I went in the house. My mama, she couldn't take it. She had literally fell on the bed and was crying her heart out. If you listen to me, I'm going to challenge this church. I want to tell you one thing. I ain't been up here playing poppycock with you for 38 years. You think I'm up here preaching? I don't give a flip about whether what happens to your kids. You're crazy if you think that. It breaks my heart to see children depart from the faith, and you mom and daddy's brought them in here and tried to raise them for God, and then turn around and go do everything in the world. I'm telling you right now, it hurts my heart. But I want to tell you, there's some wayward kids out here. I'm telling you, if you'll tie them to the horn of God's throne of grace, I tell you, they'll only be able to run so far till that rope tightens up on them and God will bring them back. And I'm saying tonight, those station wagons going to come in with the kids in it if you'll commit them to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that with all my heart. If I can't believe that, there's nothing. I want you to commit your kids to God, Lord Jesus Christ. The station wagon's coming in. Then there's the welcome wagon. The welcome wagon. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 2:9, as written, I have not seen, ear heard, things entered in the heart of man, the things that God prepared for him to love him, but the Spirit hath revealed them. Buried Sister Hepburn's body this week. And I can't do a funeral now, but what I think about all the people, the blessed people, the wonderful saints of God that I've pastored all these years, and how many of them are buried. And I can see her sitting. She used to sit, Brother Lawrence, in that seat. Have I got that right, Brother Phil? Yeah. About right there. And I'm telling you what, I'd get to preaching, and Sister Barbara, she'd kind of sit there real nice and prim and proper, you know, kind of like this. And she'd listen and everything, but then once in a while she'd kind of stare ahead. And anyway, invariably, I'd get to preaching and get wound up, and I'd go, amen! Boy, I'm telling you, she would just jump, and her hands would come up, you know, she'd jump, you know. And you know, I've just got all those good memories, and I want to say something. Listen, there's a welcome wagon coming. The Bible said Lazarus died. What happened? The angels carried him to the bosom of Abraham. Let me just tell you someday, the wagons are coming. The Bible said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. The Apostle Paul said to die is gain. He said to depart is far better. Buddy, I want to tell you something. If God says it's far better, let me just tell you right now. You say, Reggie, what's going to happen to you when you die? Let me tell you what I think. The wagons are going to pick me up, amen? Amen. I believe the wagons are going to come pick me up. I do say, well, how do you going to get to, how do you know which way is heaven? I don't have a clue. I think it's up, amen? But I don't have to know the way. I'm going to ride the wagons and those that do know, amen? Amen. I'll tell you, I believe in angels, and I believe God sent his angels, amen? I believe the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that love him and fear him. And I'm telling you something tonight, I'm looking for that welcome wagon. You think about this. God's been up for 2,000 years preparing a place for us. What a welcome wagon. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, you know, a lot of times that welcome wagon deal, somebody moves in, say, they bring him out. I believe there's going to be a wonderful welcome. I believe there's going to be a wonderful welcome in heaven for us. We don't need to mistake those welcome wagons. Well, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go away to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And then there's the bandwagon. You know, they used to have bandwagons come through town back in the old days. And they had instruments, and they'd play songs, and everybody'd come out and see the bandwagon. Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, there used to be a song we used to sing in this country, but we don't sing it anymore. I had an old roommate in college who used to sing that. He was a big old boy. He's a big old boy, and he liked me to play the guitar, Danny, and he liked to sing. And we was sitting there one day, and he said, "Can you play When the Saints Go Marching In?" I said, "I don't have a clue." He said, "Well, try it." And so I started off in C or D or somewhere, and boy, he had a voice on him, a baritone voice. "Oh, when the saint," boy, I mean, he took off, and I ain't got the right key, but I want to see if we can all sing that tonight. Are you ready? Here's the band. "Oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, when the saints go marching in, oh, Lord, I want to be in that number. When the saints go marching." Can't you see that bandwagon going down the street and then people are hitting that thing and boy, they're singing. I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said when we get to heaven, there's going to be praising the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to acclaim the glory of God forever and ever. I'm going to tell you something tonight. You're talking about, I love this choir. There's going to be a choir in heaven. Can you imagine 5 million people surrounding the throne of God? All the voices are pitch perfect. I mean to tell you, coming out of the glory land, amen. Listen, wagons are coming. We're going to see it, amen. It's going to be one continuous praise and worship of the Lamb of God forever and ever. That's what life's all about. Let me tell you something tonight. Life's not about you and I accumulating this, accumulating that, having this and doing this. Life's about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You were created for His glory and for His honor. And if you don't get that down, you're never going to know. You're going to figure out, you're going to come get old and wonder what you're alive for. I'm saying to you, the bandwagons are coming. Amen. It'll be songs with no tears. Then there's the covered wagon. I know this is somebody thinking, this is just silly. Well, let me be silly. The Bible teaches us that our sins are covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here comes that old covered wagon. Got all my sins covered, Brother Jim. Covered by the blood. Amen. I'm glad tonight my inadequacy is covered. I'm glad my ignorance is covered. I'm glad my intentions is covered. I'm glad my stupidity is covered. I'm glad all my sin is covered by the blood of the Lamb of God. The wagons are coming. Old C.H. Spurgeon said, "A little bit of faith will get your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul." You know, we need to believe the wagons are coming. We need to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth here. And then there's the last wagon. I want to tell you about that, and it's called the gun wagon. Gun wagon. I call it the war wagon. Revelation chapter 19, "I saw heaven open and a white horse, and he that sat upon him who's called faithful and true, and he doth make war." Let me just tell you, someday, all the rot and the garbage and the sin and the evil and the wickedness and the unrighteousness and the lying and the cheating and the stealing is going to be set right.
That's right. That's right.
The war wagon's coming. And he is going to defeat Satan and all of his armies. And he's going to set everything right. And he's going to bring every thought and every word, every deed into judgment. The war wagon's coming. Now you listen to me tonight, and we're going to close and go home. Times can be a little discouraging. You think, where in the world has America got to that we elect people, that we've got 70 million people who will vote to slaughter babies, to embrace perversion? Folks, I want to encourage you tonight. Let's be faithful. Let's go out tomorrow and live for the Lord.
Amen.
The wagons are coming. And even days when you wonder, "Joel, where are you at, Joel? Joel, when it seemed like our prayers aren't being answered, The wagons are still coming whether we believe it or not.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ is coming again. The wagons are coming. So I tell you what, let's do. Let's put a smile on our heart, a smile on our face. Let's live today. God's got us here for this time such as this. And we sit around saying, oh, I just wish Jesus was coming. I just wish I was out of here. Well, you ain't. Yeah. So you just as well be happy, be encouraged. I'm telling you right now, the liberals are not going to write the last chapter. They are not doing it. The wagons are coming. And let's believe. Let's don't be like old Jacob. I don't think that's going to, I just don't think so. No, it's going to happen. And I'm just glad tonight that when I'm in doubt and when my faith is weak, I haven't derailed the wagon train. Jesus is still going to do everything that he said he would do.
Amen.
I want you to know that tonight. Now, I'm going to close and I'm going to say this. I am going to have some men. I'm going to ask some different men who, you know, kind of indicated maybe a certain possible call of God upon their life to preach. I'm going to have them preach on Sunday nights and sometimes on Wednesday nights. Now, I want every man listening to me good. I'm going to put you in till 8 o'clock. You go past 8 o'clock, I'm going to get up and go home. No, there's a reason I'm doing it. I wished I'd have had somebody who would have told me, said, Reggie, tighten her down, tighten her down, tighten her down, put it in tight, and get her done. I'm going to tell you something. If God ever moves into a service, nobody be worrying about the clock. But what I don't want to do is get people discouraged and stuff. And so when if I ask you to preach on a Sunday night and bring a lesson on a Sunday or Sunday morning or Wednesday night, whatever it is, everybody except Danny has to be done by 8 o'clock. Danny's preached for 30-some years. He can do what he wants to. All right? Everybody else, when I ask you to come up here and preach, I want you to be done by 8. And if God's in it, you just say, I'm done, but God stay here as long as he wants to. All right? Because you'll be helped by tightening that thing up. And don't do like Reggie. You just got all kinds of, you know, excess to it and rabbit trails and so forth. It'll help you. I want to tell you about preaching. If God gets in it, people really don't mind too much. But you got to make sure God's in it. You got to be rolling and going. And one of the things I want to do in these closing years is let's try to train as many preachers as we can. I want to train preachers, and I want to give you a shot to preach. And I tell you, you come up here, I want both barrels loaded. And I want it lots of powder. And I want the primer ready to pop. Boom! Fire away, amen. I'll tell you right now, it's a sin to waste people's times, and I just believe that with all my heart. So kind of get ready for that, and that's what will happen. Let's stand, and the wagons are coming. What did I preach?